Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. And in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great. You?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm excited to be on the air here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet those lines are buzzing already.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Let me give out the number. 877-514-7300. That's a toll-free number in the U.S. Phone lines are open here. We would love to talk with you, so give us a call. And, Sherry, we have a couple of email questions here.
Oh, very good.
Hi, Sherry. I was at the Pittsburgh retreat where you talked about the commitment to counting while sitting. I can hardly get past two. Now that I can take notes, could you speak more on that? My brain is starting to feel like my computer these days, which has spyware. The more I want to concentrate on something, the more, quote, pop-ups emerge. I've tried scanning my brain to count breaths instead of pop-ups, but I need something a little more dependable. Gasho from a listener.
Well, I'm not certain about that last sentence, I need something more dependable. I don't know whether that's more dependable than the technique or more dependable than my mind or what. But the basic misconception that almost everybody struggles with in meditation is that they're getting somewhere. So their idea of what meditation will be. Now, where we get that idea, almost nobody ever questions. Because no matter how many times a person hears or reads what meditation is, conditioned mind turns that into there's a certain experience that you should be having and you're not having it. Yes. Now, in my world, the point of meditation is to reveal that process, to reveal that there is an expert or an authority that I call, and that has to be in quote, that I call conditioned mind, that is constantly telling a person who they are, how life is, what's important, what's real, how they're doing. We are not sitting down and meditating in order to clear our minds or be relaxed or get to a peaceful place. We are sitting down and meditating so that we can see what conditioned mind is doing, how it is telling us what is so, how it compares, judges, criticizes. That's what we want to see. So if the writer is sitting there watching conditioned mind with all its pop-ups, that's the whole point.
Yes.
The whole point is to see how conditioned mind works and to have a growing sense of where one is in order to be observing conditioned mind.
Yes. So seeing how conditioned mind works and getting past the idea that we're going to get somewhere.
Yes.
Meditation.
Yes, because we meditate to see what's going on, to see how we are and where we are, what we're doing, what we're believing, what we're thinking. We sit down so that all of that can be revealed. And, of course, conditioned mind is not really supportive of having conditioned mind's shenanigans revealed.
Yes.
And that's why it tells us, oh, you shouldn't be experiencing that. That's not right. You're not calm. Look at your mind. It's a mess. Okay?
Yes.
That's what we want to see.
Yes.
And increasingly, we realize that, wait a minute, whatever I think of as I is sitting here observing all of these shenanigans.
Yes.
What difference does it make what's being observed?
Yes. Great. Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah, so then I begin to have a sense that what I think of as I, me, the real me, is actually the awareness that is observing. Okay, so
I see.
Conditioned mind is doing whatever it's doing. All right. Doesn't it? It's no skin off my nose, as we used to say.
So we're just there observing what it's doing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what it's doing. If we are practicing meditation, what we're doing is coming back to the breath, coming back to conscious, compassionate awareness. Then we notice how conditioned mind distracts us and takes us out, and we're all thinking about something and planning and remembering something and in a conversation about how my back hurts and this is uncomfortable. And okay, and then there's this, wait a minute. And in that, oh, right, I'm with the breath. So I come back to the breath, and I'm breathing along, and I'm counting, and then pretty soon I'm off somewhere again. And we just observe how we're here, and we're distracted and pulled away. We're here, we're distracted and pulled away.
Yes.
Seeing how it all works. That's what meditation is about.
Wonderful. Great.
It is wonderful.
Sherry, we have a caller.
That's wonderful, too.
I'd like to welcome Corrine from Canada. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello. Hi there. Wow.
Hey, before we talk about anything else.
What's that?
Before we talk about anything else, tell me what the temperature is where you are.
Well, I don't look at it exactly what it is, and I'm a Celsius girl, but it's about 34 Celsius plus humidity. So
it's kind of warm?
Yeah, it's called very warm.
Oh, okay. All
very,
right.
Very, very hot.
I was living in a fantasy that we were down here being parboiled and you were up there basking in cool Canadian breezes, but
no,
I let that go.
It's not happening.
Okay, good. Good, we're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, okay. What's going on, and I'm working with this because I just even the process calling in of watching how nervous I get that I'm not going to remember everything and tell you right, and I'm just going to go anyway.
That's right, because you know you can always call back at another time if you forgot something essential.
That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I could. Well, what I guess I've been watching happen is how I keep getting stuck in a process of I can't decide what to do. I can't decide what's the rightest thing to do. And I'm just noticing how it clamps down on just about on certain days or, you know, whatever's happening, it can just clamp down on just about anything that's going on.
Yeah.
And just when I'm caught in that, it's
And the it that you're referring to is what we were talking about just a moment ago as conditioned mind, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Egocentric karmic conditioning that is trying to turn your very fine life into a process of misery.
Yes.
Yep.
So it will even, and I feel, I think I a lot I wanted to call just to expose this and have, you know, someone like you just, you know, help me out with it, what I think I'm seeing.
Yeah, get on your side and torture it for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just something as simple as, like, almost for 3 months, what I've watched myself do is I'll say, you know, tonight what I want to do is actually just spend an hour with myself or, you know, something like that. And it basically, I think I'm not really seeing exactly how it happens, but afterwards I can see I was kind of, it's weird the way the messages come in. They're not exactly someone talking to me.
Right.
But they're kind of, you know, underlying this.
That's right. If there, you may not hear words in English, but you know the message that's being delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like I have to find something else to do. That's kind of unacceptable. So I basically get talked into doing something else. So, you know, say, so I decide I'm going to do that. And I really don't know exactly how it's happening. But basically, I start believing that that's not really okay. What I really should be doing is dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
I can see that saying that right now, but I don't always.
Right.
And
in the moment, whoever is there listening believes that message and does whatever she's told to do.
Right. Uh-huh. And can I tell you the trickiest part about it?
Yes.
What
please.
Conditioning is doing now and has been, I think, for about 4 or 5 months is, of course, using practice as
of
something.
Of course.
So it's kind of like finding the most right thing to do as a spiritual practitioner. So,
So if you were doing a different kind of practice, it would be framed as, what is God's will?
Yes.
So it has to, you know, this is not, should I buy the cornflakes or the Weetabix?
No.
No, this is now huge and cosmic and religious.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, it sounds funny now, but it really feels that way in the night, like making a decision of what I'm going to pick to do.
Yeah.
It feels that big.
Oh, yeah. God is either going to be pleased or you're in big trouble, depending on what you decide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. So I guess that's been the trickiest part for me. And then it'll say stuff like, you know, I guess I'll get on this kick of, you know, just say yes to everything. And because, I don't know, I felt like in a way at the monastery that's what I practice. So I kind of try and do that for myself here.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you how hard that can be.
Oh.
Because the debates that can get me into are just, they're brutal.
Yes, because egocentric karmic conditioning is primarily a no force. And it only uses yes to set you up for the no.
Right.
Yes, it would be a good idea to get a six-pack of beer and drink it by yourself. That would egocentric karmic conditioning would be all over that one, right? Because it's going to lead you into a big place of suffering.
Yeah.
But primarily, as you indicated, anything that you're trying to do for you that takes care of you, to spend time with you, no, you don't get to do any of those things.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because it feels like kind of anything to do around practice.
Oh!
Big surprise.
Oh!
But, you know, kind of the story it's telling me about that is kind of something along the lines of I'm separating myself from people by doing that. And so I feel like for 3 months straight, I don't give myself very much time and attention. Like I'm doing the practice, I sit and... but. Basically, outside of a few minutes of the day, I'm running and doing and being and, you know, and all of that spurred from something being told to me that I need to be more a part of the world. I need to get involved. And
and so we have somebody like a personal hero of mine, Mother Teresa, who meditated and prayed for 4 hours a day. Okay. Or then we have somebody like the Buddha. Right, whose whole life was devoted to meditation and practice. Okay, if you read the New Testament, Jesus was known for spending quite a lot of time every day praying. And these people, I'm making an argument that you can share with those voices. Clearly, these people did nothing for the world. The world would have been a lot better off if they hadn't spent all that time meditating and praying and had just gotten out there and gotten busy. Yeah.
You know, when you were saying that, then I was kind of like, oh, wait a minute, is that true? I guess you're joking. So.
It's a little tongue-in-cheek thing there, yeah.
Okay.
Because, of course, you know, it's not true. And the Sherry Huber's poetic way of phrasing it is, what the world doesn't need is one more screwed-up person fixing it. So if we really want to make a contribution to the world, then we will end our own suffering and clean up our act and actually be able to participate from a place of compassion rather than self-hatred and punishment.
Wow. You know, I just love this because that belief has been going on for, probably since I've been meditating, but at least for 4 months solid.
Yeah.
You know, that's been kind of pushing me around through the day.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, and in my head, I believe that, you know, you would agree with that. Woo! That's what I'm told.
Okay, so you need to call me.
That's
often,
why I think I
right?
need to check in more.
Yeah. And so here's your assignment, okay? Your assignment is to decide whatever. Are you in the email class? The,
I am, yeah.
The meditation one?
Well, no, the year one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then we're doing meditation for this month.
Yep.
And so whatever your commitment is to meditation, you're going to keep that commitment. And then 3 days a week for whatever, for the next 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever until we talk again, whatever feels like a good experiment time, you're going to have that hour for yourself. And you're not going to get talked out of it. You're going to do whatever you need to do to remember. You're going to write it on the walls. You're going to tie your fingers together, you know, all the old awareness tricks. And you're going to write down everything those voices try to do and say to stop you from having that hour for yourself. Now, if it feels like it's just, you know, 3 or 4 days a week, do two. It doesn't really matter, but make that commitment and do it. Okay, just to prove to yourself and to the voices that, in fact, you are in charge of your life and not them.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you. I needed that.
All right. And then you'll let us know.
I will.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Corinne. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, the phone lines are lighting up here.
Very good.
I'd like to welcome Carla from San Diego. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Michael.
Hello. Hi.
Oh, wow. This is wonderful to be able to talk to you. And it's lovely in San Diego.
Oh, good. You're supporting my need for weather reports from around the world.
Exactly.
Yes, very good. I had an experience of that, how the weather fits into egocentric karmic conditioning.
Yes.
I was looking at it today, not mine, of course, but other people's.
Uh-huh.
And because that's always way more fun to look at. And so we're in this heat wave. And
yes.
The weather report is 107 degrees.
Oh, Lord.
It's 94 degrees out there. And but, you know, 94, that doesn't get everybody racing over to check the weather forecast. But 107, you know, that's – so, you know, everybody's walking around, oh, my God, it's so hot. It's so hot. And then – and I'm thinking, you know, it doesn't feel that hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I checked in, and sure enough, it's 94 degrees. So, you know, those, it's just like the last caller. You know, we get these voices who want to give us a big story about how awful everything is, and son of a gun, maybe they're not telling the truth.
Son of a gun, they're not.
Yeah. So what's going on with you?
I am in the year-long class, which I am just absolutely thrilled that I gave that to myself.
It's fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, fun and hard and everything. Mm-hmm. It's everything.
Well, you know, I think hard practice is fun.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I am getting a big story about everything is distraction, because the last thing that we talked about on our email class was to list the things that are distracting and to take some of those distracting things out of our life is how I took it. And so I had my list of, you know, TV, that's easy, and watching movies. The times when I go passive and just go asleep, essentially. And then as I made my list, I was, of course, getting all kinds of talk back about how, well, what's really distraction? You know, is it, is my reading distraction? Is my studying distraction?
Which conditioned mind wants to get in a discussion about, right?
Absolutely.
You've got to love that. Right?
Analyze it to death.
Yeah, the source of distraction wants to get you into a big debate about what distraction is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you've got to appreciate that.
But then it came up with what it thought was an ideal or a wonderful thought, and it was during meditation, of course, to take me away from my awareness during meditation, about, is it how we do things? Because if I'm asleep, isn't everything distraction? But if I'm aware, then nothing is distraction. At which point I realized I was on 15 and went back to my breath.
And it's a good point, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just that here's the piece of it that conditioned mind is not going to give you, probably because conditioned mind, number one, couldn't know this, and number two, wouldn't want to.
Okay.
Only conditioned mind would ask that question. When we are present, the issue of distraction would not even arise.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
So it wants to pull you into this, well, and of course it's going to be your fault, right?
Always.
That's right. So if you're distracted, well, it's your fault, because if you were present, you wouldn't be distracted.
That's it. It has nothing to do with the content. Once again, it turns the language around.
Uh-huh.
It has nothing to do with the content, but the process. So obviously you're not doing the process correctly.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the whole point that it's going to get to in any discussion, right?
Yeah, circular thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And circular thinking is great with conditioned mind. All it wants to do is have you in the relationship.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, so whatever it takes, it'll be interesting, it'll be charming, it'll be kind of philosophical,
mm-hmm.
hateful, punishing,
mm-hmm.
Mean. It'll use the language of practice and pull you in that way. Whatever, you know, it's like being in a bad relationship.
Yes.
Okay. So there's just that dynamic, and it doesn't matter if you're ever around a couple like that, where it seems like they just can't not have one another's attention.
Yes.
And most of the time, the way they get it is through bickering and arguing and quibbling and squawking and that sort of thing. And of course, when you're on the outside of that, you think, my gosh, don't you people get tired of that? And if you think it's about the conversation, then yes, it is tedious. But if it's about having attention, then no, it all works. Variety is the best way of getting the attention we want.
Yes. And as I see it more and more and practice, because my practice is fairly new since when you came to San Diego and the first time I saw you, that's when I actually started practicing.
Oh.
But yes, and I am so pleased that I did. And what I'm finding, though, is the hateful voices are turning into voices of love and charity and practice, but they're the same voice.
Yes. And again, it's all sooner or later going to get around to what you're doing wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's, again, if it's fun, if it's interesting, if it's entertaining, I'm not a real puzzle kind of person, you know, which is interesting. One would think I would be. But if you like solving riddles or puzzles, you know, if you're a jigsaw person or a crossword person or that sort of thing, or you like mysteries, you know, then you're a really good candidate to do this practice, because that's what it's like. And That's my draw. I love mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
I love to know how things work.
Yes.
So if we like that, if we like seeing something and then figuring out the components, figuring out the progression, figuring out what the answer is, then you know, practice is a really good time. If we're the kind of person who just wants it to be over, then practice is not fun, and it's frustrating and like that. So,
well, it's quite fun for me as long as I can be comfortable with the fact that that's not me.
Yes. Yes, if you're not taking it personally,
that's it.
It'd be more interesting, isn't it?
Absolutely. Oh, it's just a joyful noise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, both of you.
Oh, thank you. Take good care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carla. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Phone lines are open here. We would love to talk with you. The number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. It's 877-514-7300. Again, that's 877-514-7300. Give us a call. Sherry, I have another email question here.
Okay.
Hello, Sherry. Could you explain why, in the phrase conscious compassionate awareness, the two words conscious and awareness seem to be synonyms? And what is the difference between attention and awareness? Much love to you from a listener.
Well, conscious awareness, the person sees those as being synonyms?
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Huh.
Or perhaps consciousness and awareness.
Yeah. Well, consciousness and awareness I could go along with that.
Yes.
Conscious awareness. Awareness simply is. To be aware of awareness is a very different experience. To be conscious of awareness, to be aware of consciousness, are all interesting states to explore. And of course, you know, that's what I would encourage a person to do, is to see the subtle differences in those states. So one of the games that reminds me of is feeling. Okay, there's the word feeling.
Yes.
Okay, and then there's feeling.
Feeling.
Feeling. And then there's feeling. All right, and then there's feeling.
Feel like I'm in a hall of mirrors.
Yes, and yet if you're following that,
yes,
you can see that it's the same word that is pointing at very specific experiences.
Yes.
So that's the kind of subtlety that we're talking about with conscious compassionate awareness. And of course, conscious is a very important piece of the whole puzzle because we want to be conscious. We want to be conscious of compassionate awareness.
I see.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's one piece of that. And then the other is the difference between attention and awareness. And the way I usually talk about that is that attention moves within the field of awareness. So I am sitting here now, and my awareness, I can relax my awareness, okay, by turning my attention to awareness. So the awareness relaxes,
yes,
and there is just a sense of shape and texture and color, and then I can begin to move my attention within that awareness. So I focus on a specific object. So I'm focusing on a tree. I'm focusing on my peace flags. I'm focusing on my pache flag. Okay, the attention is moving to I focus on my computer with my cover, which is my worry is not preparation T-shirt.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and when I focus my attention on one of those items, then there's an awareness of that particular item. Now, it's possible to have my attention focused on a particular item and still relax my awareness to have a sense of the larger surroundings, okay? I can have my awareness relaxed and my attention then leaves a particular object and turns and focuses on awareness itself. So when the attention is focused on a particular object, I hope people are playing along with me here, otherwise this is just a bunch of gibberish. So there's the awareness, and the attention is focused on a particular object in awareness. And we could say, I am aware of attention. I'm aware not only of the object, but of the attention that sort of illuminates or distinguishes, differentiates that particular object. So here I am in a room, a lighted room, and I have a spotlight or a laser. Spotlight is better. So the room is illuminated. I can see everything. But then I turn a spotlight on object after object after object.
Yes.
Now that image breaks down because I can't actually turn the spotlight onto the entire room. But
yes,
when it's attention, it is possible to turn attention toward awareness. So they are like two mirrors, and they can mirror one another, which is what we're doing in meditation, is bringing attention back. It has a habit of following conditioned mind out into all sorts of distractions. We're practicing bringing it back. The attention is on the breath. There's an awareness of the breath. The attention is on the breath. Attention and awareness reside together. Problems end, suffering stops.
When attention and awareness are
together in that way.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Yes, it is.
So there's a field of awareness, and we could think of attention as a spotlight moving within that.
Yes. And that spotlight can turn around and illuminate awareness, and awareness can be aware of the spotlight and what the spotlight is highlighting. And I would encourage people who are listening, who practice, to do that sort of exercise at different times during the day. You know, you can do it for as few as 30 seconds. You can do it at a stoplight.
Yeah.
You can do it when you're walking. Just practice following your attention, moving your attention to various things, and then letting your attention turn back to awareness and let your awareness just expand. Then bring attention into sharp focus again. Allow your awareness to relax and expand.
Fascinating.
Yes, it is.
I'm doing it as I'm listening to you.
Uh-huh.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I hope our listeners are as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Usually, you know, the show isn't quite so, it's like a little...
Workshop.
Workshop.
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Speaking of which, you know, just a reminder to people who are local, is it the 30th of this month?
Yes, Saturday, July 30th.
I'm going to be in Sebastopol.
Yes.
And then on the 20th of August in San Francisco.
Yes.
And I'll tell people who are listening, in case they might want to join me, that I have some new stuff I've been working on that I am going to do at that workshop, and it is along these lines, along the lines of form and emptiness and spirit and matter and attention and awareness. And so
fascinating.
Come and check it out if you're in the neighborhood.
Fascinating.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with you in a few minutes.